the outline again as we read the verses. It says in verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." We've already seen that we're to make progress in Christian living. Now it's making progress in Christian loving. And here in verse 9, it's love of brothers, Philadelphia. And here in verse 9, we see the instructor of love. God taught. Paul says, I don't even need to talk to this. I don't even need to talk to you about this. I don't need to write you this, because ye yourselves are God taught to love one another. And then we see the exercise of love in verse 10. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So not only are they commended for what they have been doing, but now they're commanded to keep doing it even more. The point is, never can we become satisfied with where we are in our Christian growth and in our love for one another. Well, the point is made here, and I believe this is Paul's line of thinking here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when you have brothers displaying love to others and perhaps even giving to them financially or giving to them materially, sometimes the temptation for the receiver is to relax and say, well, you know what? This is all coming in now. I don't need to work. That's addressed with the love of honor, number two. And that's the word there in verse 11 when it says, and that ye study. That ye study is the word philotimeomai, which has to do with love of honor. Do you look at work as an honorable thing? You ought to. Work is an honorable thing. And so it's regarding your work, the love of honor regarding your work there in verse 11. Verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Now, we had a good time with that this morning, and I've had many comments afterward. I can't say a thing without people saying, well, mind your own business. Somebody picked up on that this morning. But let's look at that in the outline. It's regarding your work, the honor of your own tranquility. Be quiet. That's not talking about with your mouth. It's talking about not being lazy. That you study to be quiet. That you tend to what God has given you to do. And then number two, the honor of your own task. Do your own business. That's what Paul says there. It says that in the King James, to do your own business. We call it, we change one word, we change the word do to mind. Mind your own business. And so what Paul is talking about here is this, two applications we were able to make. My business is none of your business. We're talking about my responsibilities. What I am responsible to do is my responsibility, and I should take care of that. My family is my family, and I ought to be taking care of it. Now, here's the thing. If I am not doing what I ought to do as a Christian with my family, then I hope somebody will come to me and say, you know what, I've noticed there's some things here. Galatians 6:1, my brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. And so I would want somebody to come to me and approach me in a very meek way and say, here's what I've noticed. That's not sticking your nose in my business. Now, I may think that, but this has more to do with work and the job that I have to do, your vocation, your way of making a living, and that I should take care of my responsibilities. Remember, this is talking about doing those things which are peculiar to yourself. The situation we all find ourselves in today, for the most part, is due to our past decisions, what we have done, how we have worked our own things that are peculiar to us, the job I have chosen, the line of work I have gone into. That's peculiar to me. The decisions, the things I have chosen to buy. Why did you buy that? That's not a good decision, and I've made many of those. We make decisions peculiar to ourselves. That is some business I need to take care of. I am responsible for. Don't neglect your own personal responsibilities, therefore, by sticking your nose into somebody else's responsibilities. You have more credibility to stick your nose into somebody else's business, Matthew chapter 7, when you have taken care of your responsibilities in the same area. Then you can be of help to somebody else. But my business is none of your business. Secondly, your business is none of my business. And this is the part we often don't make application in. This is the application that is most often ignored. Your own task should occupy your time, not mine. Hey, you've got a responsibility at Westside? Take care of your business. Take care of your responsibility. Don't expect me to do what you're supposed to do. You may ask me, but don't expect me to do that. Take care of your own business without expecting people to help you. Don't expect people to pick up after you. Children, listening to me, see Joseph and Jenna and Blake and Jaden and Emmeline and Lucas is hiding behind Mr. Todd. Oh, and then we've got Lauren and Andrew right here. Yeah, you know what? Take care of your responsibilities. Do your parents make you make your bed in the morning? All of you? Okay. That's your job. Did you hear me? That's not your mom and dad's job. You see? You take care of your responsibility. In other words, your business is not your parents' business. That doesn't mean they can't stick their nose into it. What I'm saying and what Paul is saying here is this. Your business is what you should be taking care of. And making your bed, that's what you should do. And you shouldn't expect mommy to come in there and do it for you. That is your job. So you learn that now as a little child. And one day when you get a job, you will be in good stead where you're not going to expect your boss to come in and do what he hired you to do. You see that? You take care of your own business. Don't expect people to come in and do what you're responsible to do. Well, that's where we left off this morning. The honor of your own tranquility, the honor of your own task. Now look at the last part of verse 11. And to work with your own hands. There is the honor of your own toil. Listen, what causes disturbances or disorder? You had to be here this morning to get that, because we talked about those passages that talk about people walking in a disorderly manner, that is, in a lazy way. What is it that causes disturbances or disorder? Instead of doing your own business and working with your own hands, always expecting people to help you or leeching off of others. With your own hands, by the way, makes it clear that Paul is talking about manual labor. Work with your own hands. Folks, that is not a dishonor to have a blue-collar job where you have to work with your hands, hands-on. That is an honor to have a job like that. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Paul talks about, in verse 27, not giving place to the devil. And then into verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. You work with your hands. And then even notice what he says in the last part of verse 28, that he may have to give to him that needeth. What were we talking about in the first part of this message this morning? Loving our brother, not just in disposition, but by exhibition. I exhibit love. It is something where I may have to help somebody with something he's having difficulty with. It may be a financial need that I help him with. All of us ought to get to the place where we can help somebody else financially. Not where we're always having to take, but where we can help somebody else. That's talking about us individually. in society and with our vocations. But let me ask you this, or let me present it this way. In this church ministry, are you a giver or a taker? What is the saying that 10% of the people do 90% of the work? Now, we say that and just kind of, we just say it. Well, let me ask you something. Are you part of the 10? Part of the 90? How many do we have here tonight? Larry, have you counted? 41. 10% is 4.1, so we'll just say 4. 4 out of this group would typically do the work. So, 37 do the taking, 4 do the giving. Is that true at Westside? Are you a giver or a taker? Oh, we're glad to be on the receiving end of ministry. We sit in a nice church building. How many would agree this is a nice church building? I do. We sit in a nice church building. But let me ask you something. Do you give anything to support the mortgage and the maintenance of this building? Are you faithful in your tithing and in your giving? You see, that's the demonstration of your love. You sit under preaching, and every once in a while, you may give something. Or maybe you just sit under the preaching every once in a while, but give nothing or little to support what it takes to support a full-time pastor. You talk about the missionaries we support. Question, do you? It's nice to be able to talk about, well, we support Belinda Richter, and we support the Steeles, we support Joe Willis, we. You're including yourself in that, so do you really? Are you giving to missions? You see, folks, the honor of your own toil doesn't just stop with making a living. It's giving. It's giving. Well, then we move on. Not only the love of honor regarding your work, but secondly, the love of honor regarding your walk. Notice what Paul says in verse 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In other words, what he was saying in verse 11, he now says, in order that, verse 11 needs to be true, that you are studying to be quiet. You have the honor of tranquility. You have the honor of your own task, your own toil, so that you might walk honestly toward them who are without. Who's he talking about? Who's without? Verses 9 and 10 have to do with the brothers. That's those of us within. What about those who aren't a brother in Christ? Are they watching you? Are they watching us? Do they watch you at work? Do they see what you do at home as far as, okay, is this guy living off the government? Is this guy living off of others, or is he working? Regarding your walk, because he says that you may walk honestly. It's interesting, this section, verses 1 through 12, begins with how we ought to walk. You see that in verse 1 again? Let's go back. How you ought to walk and to please God. And this section ends in verse 12 with your walk again, that you might walk honestly. Paul is concerned about the believer's walk, that is, the believer's conduct. Literally, that ye may walk around, referring to your behavior or your conduct. Walk around how? What's the adverb there? That you may walk honestly. That you might walk honestly. That's a compound adverb. Two words that make up that compound word. Here's the first one. The word good. Second one is form. Or appearance. Outward appearance. Good outward appearance. Now that's interesting. Let's read it that way. That ye may walk with a good outward appearance. Having good form or good appearance. In other words, how you come across to people with your outward behavior. Isn't it interesting that we so much today give little credibility to our outward behavior and our outward appearance? And yet Paul is saying you need to walk with good outward form. You see, folks, honorable work, an honorable work ethic presents an honorable walk to those who are on the outside. They are watching your work ethic. Your behavior has an effect on non-Christians. Your attitude toward work speaks volumes about your walk. And the ability to do what is in verse 12 comes from doing what is said in verse 11. Those that are without, them that are without, he says in verse 12, are those outside the family of God. We've already been told about loving those inside the family. Now our conduct toward those who are on the outside of the family. Folks, Paul is concerned about a Christian's walk and how it is perceived by them that are without. Should we be concerned about those who are without and how they perceive us? I want you to go with me to some verses. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to see some passages where the Apostle Paul talks about ministering or our appearance to those who are without. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. He's talking about some sin that is in a church. And he says in verse 12, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?" So he's saying we need to make sure that we on the inside, those of us within, are right for our presentation to those who are without. He says in verse 13, "But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person," the implication is, "who is within." Why? Because the church needs to make a presentation to those who are without. Think about it. If a noted sinner in Greeley was a member of Westside Baptist Church, a noted drunk was a member here at Westside Baptist Church, what would that say to those who are without? That would ruin the whole church's testimony. Well, that was akin to what was happening here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A man was involved in some wicked sin and fornication. People on the outside knew about it. If that church would have coddled him and encouraged him and enabled him, what kind of a presentation of the gospel and of Christ would that give to those who are without? So Paul is saying, you need to put him away. You need to excommunicate him. Not just for that outward appearance, but for the man himself, to bring him back to restoration. Go with me to Colossians chapter 4. You're in 1 Thessalonians, so the previous book, last chapter, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There, Paul again is concerned about how you come across to those who are without. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 7, talking about the qualifications of a pastor or a bishop. 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. He must have a good reputation or a good report of those who are without. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Have an honorable work ethic. Why? That ye might have good outward appearance toward them that that are without? Are you a good worker where you are employed? Are you somebody that people say, wow, he, she works hard? That ought to be your testimony, because it reflects on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your love of honor is not just for those inside the family, but your love of honor is for those on the outside as well. Fellow church members may see your inside testimony. Let me ask you, is your inside testimony what they see on the outside? Have you ever heard anybody say anything about people who go to certain churches? Well, they're one thing when you see them in church, but they're something totally different when you see them outside the church. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It ought to be that on the outside, for us to see you wherever you are on the outside, that your actions are the same as what they would be on the inside. What is your testimony with those on the outside? There are unbelievers, those who are without these church walls, who know you better than those even here in the church, because they know the real you. A.T. Robertson, a Greek scholar, once said, people outside the churches have a right to watch the conduct of professing Christians in business, domestic life, social life, politics. This is written back in the 1920s or 30s. And those people outside the church, they have a right to watch your conduct. And what was the last one he mentioned there? Politics. See, it used to be where in olden days they would look at who you supported and who you didn't support as a matter of your testimony. Well, why are some people unsuccessful in reaching those on the outside? Why is it that some within the church have a hard time reaching those without the church? Because of verse 11. No honor in their work ethic. Paul gives verse 11 as a command, listen to me, to prevent damage to brotherly love. You are on the receiving end, and you take, and you shouldn't. You see, the outside world sees a believer helping a brother or a sister who is truly in need. And that says something to them. But then the outside world also sees when one who claims to be in need in a church is a freeloader. That guy on the outside knows it. And all of a sudden, the testimony is ruined. You're not walking with good appearance to them that are without. A believer who's truly in need will not be too proud to accept help. There's no dishonor in taking help. But someone who knows a believer's poor situation, if it's deserved, sees him as taking advantage of the love of other believers. And that's dishonorable, because he's enabling his laziness. Last part of verse 12 says this, and that ye may have lack of nothing. That you may have lack of nothing. Literally, that you may have need of nothing. Folks, we ought to come to the place where we work, where we need no help from somebody else. But there are times when we're going to need it. I'm just saying that ought to be our goal. We ought to work toward that. But there are times, and it happens frequently, where somebody loses a job or somebody can't work as the way they ought to. Somebody's laid up and they need help. That's when those of us who work ought to be able to give to that need. And by the way, I appreciate the way you give to the Deacon's Fund, where there are things available, money available to people who are truly in need. So that ye may have lack of nothing. If you study to be quiet, if you do your own business, if you mind your own business and you work with your own hands, you are more likely to be able to support yourself, not be dependent upon charity, and thus have need of nothing. that others would have to supply. And, in fact, be able to supply the needs of others. Time and again, you'll see this in the New Testament, where there's people who have a need, and the church people come in and they help with that. Look at that word nothing, that ye may have need or lack of nothing. That word nothing can either be in the neuter gender or in the masculine gender. It's translated neuter, that you may have need of nothing. If it's in the masculine, it would read this way, that ye may have need of no one. And that's interesting. D. Edmund Hebert has this comment to say, conservative commentator, I love to read him. For members of the church to be parasites and continue to live off other members of the brotherhood is morally degrading. Those who deliberately impose upon the generosity of others are not living in love. And that's what Paul's talking about from verses 9 to 12. He starts off in verse 9, but as touching brotherly love. And so I close again tonight asking the same question I asked this morning with one additional question. How can you expect to exhibit love to your brothers and sisters in Christ when you aren't even here and where we gather? You cannot be making progress in loving your brothers. Question, are you making progress in loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, or are you violating verses 9 and 10? That's my first question. Here's my second question. Are you making progress in loving honor? The honor a Christian should have, or are you violating verses 11 and 12? Would there be some on the outside of this church who wouldn't step foot into this church because of your testimony or because of your lack of honor regarding your work ethic? Because they know you, they say, I wouldn't go there. No honor in your own tranquility, no honor in your own task, no honor in your own toil, working with your own hands, minding your own business. It is no dishonor to be on the receiving end of brotherly love when you need it. If you are also on the giving end of brotherly love when someone else needs it. But not working and taking advantage of other people's money, taking advantage of other people's time, let me say it bluntly, is stealing. And I close with Ephesians 4:28, and I'd like you to go back there again. That is stealing. And Paul said this. Ephesians 4:28, we read it already tonight. Let him that stole steal no more. Do you see what that's talking about? Somebody taking advantage of somebody else. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, so that what? He may have to give to him that needeth. Folks, there are people in need who are truly in need. Those are the ones we want to help. I don't want to help anybody who doesn't really need the help. I don't want to help anybody who's not willing to work themselves. I am not willing to help anybody by enabling them to continue on in their laziness. I am not helping them if I do that. But there are times when people have a need. Hey, then let us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as touching brotherly love, may it be demonstrated right here. What would your comment be as the Apostle Paul makes in verse 10? He says to this church, indeed ye do it toward all the brethren. You do it. I wonder what he could say about Westside Baptist Church in Greeley, Colorado. How do we do it? Toward each other? Toward the support of our brethren in missions? What do we do? Something to think about, isn't it?